This is Ignition Point, Clayton Bradley Academy's podcast, where every day we work to help students excel through critical thinking, problem solving, collaboration, and use of our lifelong guidelines and life skills. Today's podcast is a live recording from our coffee and tea event, in which we featured three of our related arts teachers: Andrea Larson, which teaches art in our elementary and high school classrooms; Melissa Barrick Baldwin, which teaches elementary music and upper school theater; and Dr. A, which focuses on upper school Spanish. And so all three of them are going to be talking over the next three podcasts about what they do in their classrooms and how that incorporates into our life skills, our lifelong guidelines, and the model of instruction that we use. And so at this time, we're going to join the live event, in which it'll feature Andrea Larson this week and then the other two in the weeks to follow.
But thank you. Welcome to our coffee and tea today. It is going to be a glimpse into the mindset of what it looks like in some of our classes that, and some of our teachers that maybe you guys haven't met. And so for those of you who don't know me, my name is Ariel. I'm our curriculum specialist here at CBA. And so to get us started, we're going to do a little bit of crowd participation. So we are going to do something called a Mentimeter. This is an activity a lot of our teachers will use. So what you need is your phones. There is going to be a code and a QR code for you to scan here in just a minute. And what I want you to think about is, what benefit does your student receive from participating in related arts programs? And it's going to give you an option to input up to four different words or phrases into our Mentimeter. And what will happen is they will show up here on the screen. So you can scan that QR code. What are some benefits that your students receive? And what will happen as you guys are populating your answers, they will appear on the screen. Words that get bigger are words that have been populated more often from the other participants in the class. I was about to say classroom there. Okay, and after you have input your answers, you've seen what's popping up on the screen, turn and talk to your neighbor, introduce yourself if you need to. What are your thoughts when those words come up on the screen? So let's take about a minute and a half and turn and talk. So what are some conversations you guys had at your table groups? I heard a few, but I would love at least two to share out. What did you guys talk about when you saw those words up on the screen?
We talked about how much fun our kids have in all their classes. How they refer to all of that as fun.
Good. So school is fun. I cannot say that that was true when I was in school. What else?
Our table talked about, well, I have two kids here, and I know just you, how kind of every time we ask it, what's your favorite, it's a different one, and it doesn't stay the same, and then how each kid, it just gives them their own makes school more fun for them individually, gives them, sometimes it's a break for them from a more academic subject, and really allows them to kind of stretch their passions and creativity and see where they feel smart that day.
So. Yeah, absolutely. And so what do some of these words look familiar? Have you seen some of these words around our campus? What do they remind you of? Yeah, so I hear a lot, and I heard some people talking about it. These words, a lot of these are our life skills and our lifelong guidelines. I'm looking up there, I see creativity, I see effort, I see confidence, passion, pride is up there, self-expression, that's not a life skill, but it really goes in there with the idea of creativity. Yes, critical thinking, that is a huge one with our mission statement. These, what we do, whether it's in our related arts classes, whether it's an engineer class, math class, we are our life skills and lifelong guidelines. That is the foundation of what we do here at CBA. And if you had the opportunity to come to our coffee and tea, our last coffee and tea, you were able to see that in our third grade classroom with Ms. Barham and then our eighth grade classroom with Ms. Whitecon. And you saw through their eyes, what does it look like to be a teacher here? What does it look like to be a student in a lower school and an upper school classroom? And so our goal today is for you to get a very small glimpse of what it's like to be in one of those other classes with a teacher that maybe you don't interact with as much. And what you're going to find out is that when we are working, when our students are in any of our classrooms, let me get out of our Mentimeter real quick. It's our life skills and lifelong guidelines. Like, these are the words that you guys came up with, and that is what research has shown us about related arts programs. Programs outside of the what we would consider the norm or the norm academics are huge with our life skills and our lifelong guidelines. And so if we are looking at our related arts, there are numerous longitudinal studies with brain research of how related arts classes are really going to integrate with your students. These are just some of them. Cognitive and academic development. I think a lot of parents and even students are surprised to see that, yes, there is a huge link, especially with music and math. The idea of self-esteem and confidence, standing up on a stage or being able to produce your artwork is huge in building for our related arts. And then I know I also saw up there culture, the idea of cultural understanding with our related arts classes as well. And so the brain research is plethora out there about why and how important they are. And so what you're going to see at CBA is when we're looking at our related arts offerings, we have a smattering of offerings. And I will preface by saying not everything up here is actually considered a related arts offering, but it's a class that may be outside the norm of your science, social studies, math, or ELA. When they are in lower school, all of our lower school pre-K students take PE, Spanish, general music, and art. When they pop into kindergarten, they also get to add technology with Ms. Fines, who does an amazing job integrating into our classroom. And then at fifth grade, they can also add chorus or strings as an extracurricular activity. When we go to middle school, we're just going to increase those offerings that our students can take. We're going to add things like STEAM, that stands for science, technology, engineering, arts, and math. And then engineering, not necessarily a related arts course, but it's definitely one of the special courses that we offer as well. And then high school, we're going to add even more. We're going to add things like not just regular art, but studio art and 3D art. We're going to have theater in the middle school and high school as well, new media, photography. And then, as you can see, one of those that it goes throughout the entire thing is Spanish. And though, like I said, not necessarily considered a related arts, but extremely important for that brain development with our students. And so today, you are going to get the opportunity to hear from three of those teachers. We're going to start off with Ms. Larson. She teaches art pre-K through third grade, as well as high school. We have Ms. Barrick Baldwin, who does our music for pre-K through two, as well as our theater program, 6th through 12th grade. And then Dr. A, he does our Spanish 8th through 12th. And so with that, I'm going to turn it over to Ms. Larson so she can give you a little look into her art class.
So with my students, I normally say, "Hello, my fabulous artists." And they say, "Hello, Ms. Larson," every time we start. So I'm Ms. Larson. I've been here. This is my 11th year at CBA, either being a parent or teacher. And I love it here. I love our mission. I'm just going to go through and talk about all the different areas. So I know we have a lot of pre-K parents. In pre-K, I really focus a lot on process art. And what that means is we are doing some sort of process that they can be 100% successful at. I'm not always looking for an end product, although sometimes we do that as well. But they're being introduced to materials. They're learning how to wash the brush. They're learning, you know, the middle one, we were printing with Legos, and a lot of times, yes, last Wednesday we painted with strings, and sometimes with pre-K, you know, sometimes they're into it, like, let me get in there and get dirty, and sometimes they're like, I don't want to get my fingers dirty. So with the string painting, I had a couple kids like that, and I said, don't worry, I'll dip it in, and then they can put the string in and pull it, and so we had a couple kids doing that. One child was all in, doing it all by themselves, and the other one, I was helping them. And then the one kid finished, and she's like, I want to do another one. So I'm like, okay. And then the other one said she wanted to do another too. I said, well, you can, but you got to do it yourself. She never looked back. She was like all in. So I think it's just the exposure, getting them, you know, sometimes you have to coax them in to get them in, but then they love it. And we also do step-by-step, the step-by-step two. The last picture, we made clay donuts, and they all had a fun time. It was easy. They got to learn how to make a sphere and to, you know, poke it through and to do different glazes and pick their sprinkle colors. So that's a little bit about pre-K. One of the craziest projects I ever did was we painted with spaghetti. So I like partially boiled the noodles and made these brushes, and we painted with them and had a blast. And I loved how the art, I am just such a sucker for little kid art. I absolutely loved how they looked, even with like the little bits of noodle in there. And one thing I love about watching the kids grow and how like having them for a long time is sometimes you can see at pre-K, at that age, they have a style. And it's wild. Like they have color preferences, or you know, you can really tell. So that's a fun thing I enjoy about pre-K. So K through three, I'm gonna talk about how I use life skills, our mindful drawing practice. I use a lot of books and video that I make. We integrate into the classroom, and I'm going to talk about materials. So these are our life skills that we go over, and we do like a call and response. So I'll say friendship, and you guys can do it with me. We'll do one. Friendship.
Friendship.
Be nice. Okay. So we go through and repeat. We have a little body mapping, and I did this to bring our life skills into the classroom, and what I didn't realize was going to happen was how meaningful it would be. So when we say, mistakes mean I tried every time before we start class, or your effort is paying off, I went from having kids who would sometimes be self-critical on their artwork or be really upset with how it turned out to, I don't really have that anymore. So that's been absolutely amazing, that how powerful it is to have, you know, you say something in your mind, even if your teacher is forcing you to say that, they really internalize it. And it has been a really a good thing in my classroom. So I was one of the lucky ones. I think our second or third year at CBA, a group of us went on this amazing PD trip to New York, and we did a mindfulness in education conference. And I kind of developed this mindful drawing practice based on that PD, and I've been doing it ever since. So what we do is we'll start with the breathing, and normally I relate this all to whatever we're doing in class. So if we're drawing, I think this is the imaginary land map. So we had a ship, and I wish I would have, normally I will come up with a breathing that relates with that, which I'm putting myself on the spot because I didn't think of this ahead of time, but like butterfly is easy, but if we were doing sea creatures, maybe I would say, breathe in, breathe out. And we all do that for three times. So we do the breaths. With middle school, when I taught middle school, I thought they were too cool for doing the motions. And I said, let's just do three breaths. And they're like, no, like the most fun part is doing the weird motions. So we kept doing that. So we do our three breaths, and then I have images displayed on the board, and they are supposed to be silent and really focus. And what we learned in the conference is when you have those pockets of time where you're being quiet and you're focusing on something, it increases your ability to pay attention. So this really helped me, because when kids come to art, they're so excited that this kind of brings it down a little bit, and they get to do some art before we get started. So by the time I get onto instruction, they're like really ready to go. So, and it also gives me an opportunity to do a bit of a pre-assessment. So if we're doing portraits, we're all drawing faces at the start of class, and I'm getting to see where they're at. Or if we're talking about texture, that's our big theme for the quarter, for this quarter, then I'm looking at how they're applying texture in their drawings. And that gives me some feedback to work on and see how well they come during the lesson as well. And then with kindergarten, they're not quite there yet. So normally what I do at the beginning is, and since pre-K a lot of the time is process stuff, so kindergarten is skill building. So we're learning about shapes and lines, and we're practicing step-by-step drawings and things like that. So we've done that this whole first semester. And then now just recently I started doing this with kindergarten, and it's amazing how they've learned how to do a drawing on their own without looking at the step-by-steps. So I love to read myself, and I think it's just such a great hook for the kids. So we do start almost every lesson out with a story. We learn about artists that way. We learn about other cultures. That is my my passion is, and I'm not going to cry like I did at the opening parent thing, but it's so valuable, especially in our day and age, to be able to look at something from someone else's shoes. And so we learn a lot about other cultures. It's, to me, in a way, it's another language that we can speak. It's a way that we can look at and understand or appreciate things from other cultures. And so we do a lot of projects from other cultures. And then also just hearing a fun story that connects with the subject matter. So right now, first grade is doing things that relate with their science is relating with space. And so we did a lesson with a silly story about aliens, which is not academic, but it got, you know, it gives the hook. And so they're ready to go and do their art about space. I also have a YouTube channel, which I'm a terrible YouTuber, but it's really just my place to dump my videos. What I discovered is that some art teachers can stand up there and be like, and then we're going to do this. And theirs turns out awesome. Mine doesn't. It doesn't. And the kids are like, that doesn't look good. So when I take the time to actually video myself doing my best effort, that helps me to model effort for the kid. And then I can speed it up so I'm not wasting all their time. And when they see that I've done my personal best, then when they, I feel like the projects actually turn out much nicer. So that's why I started doing that. And there have been a ton of benefits for me personally as a teacher, but for the kids, they pay attention more to my videos than they do when I'm like actually up there. They don't interrupt as much. So I've really enjoyed doing that. And I do have a playlist of CBA for this year. If your kid ever comes home and says what they did and it doesn't make any sense, hopefully you can find the video on there. And then I do not always integrate, but often try to integrate. Third grade did the one and only Ivan, which you may have heard about if you heard from Miss Barham. But we, in art class, we painted watercolors that they could choose any of the characters from the book, and we had a lot of different samples for them to look at. And then we made these gorillas to go out of clay, and those turned out absolutely incredible. It just really, when they were already all in, like I didn't have to do the hook. Miss Barham had already gotten their attention on that, so all I had to do was present the skills, and it was incredible, like the detail that they were adding, they knew so much because of what they had learned in class. So that was a really fun one. Materials. I try to do a lot of different materials because you never know what is going to appeal to one child. The picture on the left is self-portraits, and we are using oil pastels. This quarter, we're going to be doing some weaving, and this has been one of my favorite things and most interesting to see, because what surprised me about weaving is the kids who love the weaving, which also makes perfect sense, so if you think about it, the kids who love the weaving are the more athletic ones. So when I had the current 11th grade boys, when I had them in like third or fourth grade, we did a weaving project and they loved it. They were begging me to take their looms so they could work on at home, and I was hesitant because I was afraid I wasn't gonna have any art to do because they were gonna take it home and not bring it back. But what happened was they were taking their looms, they were coming up to my room after school begging for more yarn, they were weaving like crazy at home, and they did so many. So it's just, you know, you never know what is going to appeal to certain kids. We also do printmaking, we do watercolor, tempera paint, we do a lot of drawing, and a lot of collage. So I try to hit everything within the year. And then I also teach a high school ceramics class. I'm a ceramic artist, and I actually have a piece on display in the airport if you're going to be flying anywhere before April. So I was lucky enough to get a chance to teach this high school class, which I've absolutely loved. And it's completely different from the other two areas that I teach. It is very hands-on, which I think is so good for them at this age. And then they all come up with a theme. So they, and this is like the critical thinking part for them, they each choose something that they are going to commit to and work on for that that quarter. Last semester, I had a lot of kids do, well, Claire did nature. He did the Studio Ghibli. And then Heidi did food. So, but then this semester, it's really interesting seeing what the kids are, they're picking things like duality or, this group is getting like much more cerebral. So we'll see where they end up taking that. But it's been really fun to have them work with the theme because the richness of their body of work as they're getting through it is really impressive. For this project, and what normally what I'll do is I'll introduce a technique or we'll talk about an artist, and then they will take it from there. So it's just incredible to, especially I guess the range of kids that I see, but by the time they're at this age, they can take a simple thing and really push it. So Claire, for these teacups, she had a very simple pattern to do teacups, and she turned them into flowers, and then she made a flower plate with them. So she really took that above and beyond. And then Rowan, he really likes to draw. So I introduced a technique that actually only he tried, which is Mishima inlay, and it fit perfect with his theme, and also just the way the class is. I love that I was able to, with our like smaller numbers, I was able to show like one student something that fit their theme. So the Mishima inlay is where you put a wax coat over the clay, and then you carve into it your drawing and put a coat of black, and then wipe that off. So it had actually, when it came out of the first firing, it had just a black outline, and then he added his glazes to that. And then the last one, problem solving. So Heidi, she's so much fun. She had this very ambitious project that she wanted to do, making a cake, this giant cake inspired by an artist that she was looking at. So she makes this huge cake. We had to figure out, which this was really good for me because I had to learn something new. She wanted to pipe the clay like icing, so I had to learn how to do that, so that was fun. And then this always happens, or it can happen. The danger of clay is that it could explode in the kiln, which it did, which was tragic. But we worked through it, and we still, forced her to glaze it because she was sad about it, which rightfully so. So I forced her to glaze it, and then it looked good. And so we just glued it together and it looked great. She did lose a base layer, but she really persevered and she was really happy with it at the end. I was going to time myself, but I didn't. How long have I been talking?
Good.
Okay. Should I do one more thing or should I be done? Okay.
That's all right. Awkward, this is next.
Sorry, guys. Okay. Thank you.
This has been The Ignition Point, Clayton Bradley Academy's podcast, where every day we work to help students excel through critical thinking, problem solving, collaboration, and use of our lifelong guidelines and life skills. If you'd like to find out more about our school, you can visit us on our webpage, www.claytonbradleyacademy.org, or you can find us on social media sites at CBASTEM or at Clayton Bradley Academy. We hope you have a wonderful day.